Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Whichever it is for you, here's the Morning Scramble
with Claire and Eric,
a Z102.9 podcast.
Enjoy.
I'm waking up. I'm so happy for my Catholic/Bears friends.
They're just thrilled right now.
It's meme town, man.
Yeah.
That's all my phone had last night. More comparisons to the Bears. You know, if you're a Packers fan, you're a sinner now. Comparisons to the NFL draft. The Pope got picked faster than some high recruits. It's great.
It did go quickly.
3 days. Two days, really.
You were saying that there was maybe a thought that, like, we'll start the conclave on a Wednesday and everyone's going to want to get this wrapped up so
that
we can have
our weekend. Yes, exactly. So the Cardinals could have their weekends.
But maybe they wanted it wrapped up so they could have, like, a Friday.
And you're like, so they would go to work. I'm like, oh, that's a good point. They do.
They have working weekends.
Yes.
Different hours.
Our Monday is a Cardinals Sunday.
Right.
Oh, it's Sunday again.
Oh, boy.
Back to the Lord's work.
So maybe they wanted to have a little, you know, Friday.
I think, yeah, they wanted
their breath,
you know,
before the weekend.
Friday.
Yeah. That's probably
going to have some Sundays and some fries from Marion. Friday.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, we got a new Pope, American born, although dual citizenship. Is he Peru?
Peru. Peruvian.
And, but from the south side of Chicago.
Yeah.
So and he's a Cubs fan.
The Americas are excited. North
Very
America.
Very much so.
South America.
Yes.
Like, woohoo.
And if you remember, wasn't one of the popes in conclave American who was in the final running?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that Stanley Tucci's pope?
I believe.
Or cardinal?
Stanley Tucci.
Stanley Tucci.
From what we know from watching the movie. As they did, too.
It's roughly historical and accurate, I thought.
Probably.
It's the same thing back. Remember when Dan Brown in the Da Vinci Code?
Yes.
Like, how much of that did people really, like, the Illuminati
buy into? I know.
Secret societies that are keeping the blood of Christ alive.
So, wait. I remember Nicolas Cage's National Treasure.
I love that movie.
Okay.
I want another one of those.
My roommate in college is like, so wait, is this real? Is this really happening?
Really happening?
No.
No. She thought it was a documentary.
She's like, wait, there's a lot of, like, historical stuff tied into it. Like,
it's just fun. Yeah, and because that came right on the heels of the Da Vinci Code.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was great. No, I always thought a third national, that one deserved a trilogy because the second one wasn't as good. There's hidden gold in Mount Rushmore. Come on.
Come on.
I believe the other one. Yeah, I believe a secret Mason temple somewhere in the East Coast. But hidden Aztec,
what? No.
In the back of Mount Rushmore.
No, try again.
Not buying it.
That's the way they need to go, is you have a trilogy.
Yes.
Second one's not as good. Third one's great.
They had a TV show. I didn't get into it.
Hmm. Never even heard of the TV show.
No, but every once in a while I sit down, I'm like, maybe I'm the guy who needs to write this thing.
Do it, man.
I don't know how to write a movie.
Do it. Sell it. Make millions.
I think it could take place in New York City.
Ooh, New York City.
Because the Empire State Building used to have a lot of banks in it.
Yes, it did.
It has a lot of vaults in it.
Uh-huh.
I think that'd be a cool place to have it.
Uh-huh.
Secret vault in the Empire State Building.
Yeah.
And tunnels and things.
Uh-huh. And they've got the beautiful stonework. And
you got to go to the Statue of Liberty for something's hidden in there. That's from
Probably
France.
Probably in a toe.
It's in the toe.
Mm-hmm.
You just lift the nail. It's like a hood of a car.
Sick. I hated that toe fungus commercial when the fungus lifted the nail. I'm like, oh!
I just brought that back. You're welcome.
Okay, great way to start my Friday.
Sorry about that. Wait. May I suggest, though, I believe I'm already on the plus side for you because I'm taking your husband away from you tonight. We've got a guy's night.
You're in my good graces.
I should
right
be
now.
In your good graces.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to go see 90s pop group Sister Hazel tonight.
Just a couple of bros checking out Sister Hazel.
Jamming out to the mid-tempo tunes of Sister Hazel. Think First Avenue Club? Yeah, we're going to Iowa City for the show tonight. It's going to be fun.
Love it.
Sister Hazel. Hit those drums, Sister Hazel.
Go, sister.
That's one of the first bands ever played on Z102.9.
They're so fun.
They were hot. Goo Goo Dolls were out at that same time. Matchbox 20, Sister Hazel. Yeah.
Fun.
So it's barbecue and beer night.
Yeah.
That's our plan tonight.
Couple of bros out of the town.
No, there's four of us.
Whoa.
Quad bros.
Bro pack.
Bro pack.
Four pack
bro,
of bros.
Bro squad.
My God.
I was going to say broad squad, but that didn't make sense.
Don't do it. Don't say it. Don't say it. You'll ruin the magic.
We're all kind of hefty in the
sounds
shoulder.
Sounds really tough.
Broad squad.
Nope.
Four of us are out. We're called Broad Squad.
Sounds like you're wearing bras.
We're called Broad Squad, and we're going to go see Sister Hazel.
Did you say Bra Squad?
I said Broad.
It sounds like Bra Squad. It's too close. And Mother's Day is on Sunday. How about a heartwarming story about a mother in Sweden who just got convicted of harassment and was ordered to pay her 2-year-old daughter $2,000.
She was harassing her 2-year-old?
Okay, there was a trend on TikTok where people would crack eggs on their on the foreheads of unsuspecting victims, be it friends, family members, just to see their shocked reaction when the egg and then the yolk is going down their face. Like, oh, why would you do that? It got a little wild when people started doing it to kids. This mother is from Sweden. She just got convicted of harassment because she cracked an egg on her daughter's head. The girl is very young. She is not the one who made the complaint. Some people watching the video filed complaints. A prosecutor actually picked it up and ran with it and argued to the judge that it wasn't in fun. It was cruel to do to somebody who was that young.
No kidding. Blood relative or not, right?
You simply don't do that to a child.
No.
Record and humiliate the child and then broadcast it to thousands of viewers. It was incredibly degrading. It was a reckless act. And the judge agreed.
Here's what I didn't even consider. Everything you just said after the egg component. All of the broadcasting part of it.
Yeah.
Right? That's permanent record. That's going to be out there forever.
Yeah.
That's going to alter her.
So the judge agreed. And the judge ordered the mother to pay the daughter $2,000.
I think it's too low. It should be a lot higher.
The mother stands by the fact that it was a harmless prank.
I don't care.
What a way to celebrate Mother's Day. Isn't that a lovely story? Mothers and daughters' relationships are complicated enough. And now we've got this.
That's off the rails. You guys are not going to get along ever. Ever again.
There's going to be so much therapy
needed.
There's
no reconciliation
there. No. Just destroyed.
Well, if that judge hadn't made me pay you
$2,000. Well, it was a little embarrassing, Mom. I was 2 and you're cracking eggs on my head.
But it was a TikTok trend. Gretchel. Her name's Gretchel.
Gretchel?
Swedish.
What a beautiful name, Gretchel.
She's also going to go to court for naming her daughter Gretchel.
And then you named me Gretchel on top of everything? Mom?
Was it Gretel or Hansel? You couldn't pick one, so you said Gretchel? Come on.
Did you just misspeak and then just double down on it?
Yes, I did, because I'm your mother.
Time for The Buzz with Danson Eric Hansen on Z102.9.
I got your attention when I said a grocery store is coming to Newbo.
That you did.
This is part of the Newbo City Market's Next Level Local campaign. You know, they're doing a little remodel.
Yeah.
They're adding a second floor.
Literally next level.
That's how big the building is. They can add a second floor without interrupting business inside the Newbo Market. Isn't that crazy?
Crazy.
But on the main level will be the Market Basket, a neighborhood grocery store in the market operated by Field to Family. They're a nonprofit out of Iowa City. Their organization works with more than 70 local food producers. The market also announced an opportunity if you are an area resident as we get ready for them to open. It's going to take a while. That's all part of the remodeling. They're going to do giveaways of free, fresh local produce through the summer during Newbo's Rock the Block. So Friday nights, while it lasts, they will have free, fresh produce to hand away, thanks to Field to Family. Construction for the market's expansion officially set to start in September. Russell Construction Company serving as the general contractor of that particular project. Coming
up. That is so awesome.
Well, it appears, bad news, good news, Stormin Norman, the mascot from Centerpoint Urbana, I don't think made it to the finals. He was in the final four of the 64. That's just a website dedicated to bracket contests.
Yeah.
Lost out. It appears to me losing out to the Marshall County Central Northern Freeze. They're a school out of Minnesota.
Oh, I saw that mascot. It's very cute.
You know why he won? He looks just like the Abominable Snowman from Rudolph.
Yeah.
But it appears still in the running and looking like they are in the lead in the Sports Illustrated contest. We're going to get into the depths of where this all started. We've got Melissa James with Centerpoint Urbana joining us. I thought it would be good to have the fight song ready to go. And I've asked you to pull up the lyrics. I just want to give this a shot. We didn't go here. I don't know this song.
We don't know how it goes.
But we are going.
So we're going to try to sing it.
We're going to root for the Centerpoint Urbana Storm and Pointers.
Okay.
It is the Storm and Pointers fight song. Here we go. Oh, let's go. Break right through that line. With our colors flying, we'll cheer you all the time. Rah, rah, rah. Go Stormin' Pointers. Fight for victory. Fight for the fame of our great name. Stormin' Pointers win this game. Go Stormin' Pointers.
Not again.
Break right through that line. One and done, huh?
That was for you, Stormin' Norman.
If that helps get you over the edge of that Sports Illustrated contest, it was worth it. I'm sure you've seen it before. Downtown Cedar Rapids does have its share of for lease and for sale signs. And I'm also guessing, because we play this game in the car lot, what would work there?
Yes.
Right? Now, if you play the game, what would work there, and I know I could do that, this story's for you. The next big idea to come to downtown Cedar Rapids could be yours, and you could get the space for free to start your business. Downtown Cedar Rapids back again with the Cedar Rapids Metro Economic Alliance Race for the Space Round 2, the sequel. It's a competitive opportunity designed to give a new or growing entrepreneur the idea of establishing their business in the core of downtown Cedar Rapids. You get 6 months of rent provided. You get expert support from area entrepreneurs and connections to mentors, resources, and promotion through the Cedar Rapids Metro Economic Alliance.
That's huge.
They just opened applications yesterday. It closes Monday, June 30th. I will tell you, because I was part of this project the last time we did it, that is a hefty application. Don't just go in thinking, I think I'll start a coffee shop.
I've got a vague idea.
You need financials. Okay. Yeah, you need to show that you know how to run a business. This is a serious competition. RaceForTheSpaceCR.org. That's the website. Get all signed up. Make sure you do so by June 30th. They're going to review all the applications. And then Shark Tank style, they'll narrow it down to the finalists. They'll be pitching to a panel of judges, and somebody will win free space for 6 months.
That is so awesome.
And now, a pop culture update we'd like to call Z's Sleaze with Claire.
All right, we did not see Justin Bieber walking the carpet of the Met Gala with his wife, Hailey Bieber, who looked stunning in a custom tailored blazer dressy thing. But now now we know exactly where Justin was. The rumor was that he was working on new music in a recording studio somewhere. Turns out that recording studio was in Iceland.
Really?
Yeah. He and his crew were working on new music in Iceland. A source says that he's at peace, that Iceland is the setting that seems like a perfect retreat for Justin Bieber.
I've been there, and I can vouch for everything you're saying.
It's nice, right?
It's beautiful.
He even shot his video, I'll Show You, from 2015. So he's been there before. He knows kind of what it feels like. You know, if you've traveled a place,
yes,
you know the vibe that you're seeking. He thought this was a perfect getaway. He stayed at a luxury lodge at the edge of the Arctic Circle that has a detached recording studio. So, you
what?
Know, your space for play and a space for work.
The lodge has a studio in it? That's awesome.
A detached studio. The guy who owns the lodge is telling us the story of Justin Bieber being there, but also, I believe, trying to sell this lodge to us. He says...
Wait, like the whole lodge is for sale?
Well, you can stay there.
Okay.
You book a space where Justin Bieber stayed. The lodge person says that Justin and his friends immerse themselves in everything the lodge has to offer, from invigorating cold plunges to fireside sauna sessions. Heli snowboarding and fat biking.
Heli snowboarding. They take you up in a helicopter.
And they drop you off a helicopter?
And you snowboard down. Hella snowboarding.
Okay, I've never.
It's hella cool.
Fat biking with the big tires,
yeah,
right? I'm like, they do things differently in Iceland. And more. So many amenities when you come and stay at the lodge in Iceland.
Do they have a 5-star chef on staff?
He didn't say anything.
That's going to be my deal breaker, man. You gotta let me know.
Okay, I will check back with the agent who owns that. The election of Pope Leo the 14th. Big deal yesterday.
Yes.
But it was such a big deal, and there were so many helicopters and reporters and media personnel trying to talk about this and get the moment the smoke comes out. The chaos of the announcement wreaked havoc on set of season 5 of Emily in Paris, because right now Emily is not in Paris. Emily is in Rome.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So the Netflix show is currently filming in Rome. And because of all of the news helicopters, it was making so much noise that they have to redo all of the scenes that they shot yesterday.
Can you imagine you think you've got it and then that you get an email like, sorry, guys, everything we did yesterday, you have to do again.
It was a great scene. Unfortunately, the
sound can hear helicopters in the background.
Is terrible. Yeah. And I don't know, like, do you work that in, too? Do you just go with it? Like, oh, and they're electing a new pope, so let's just write that into a scene.
It depends on what time of year, right, this takes place.
What the budget is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just so you know, they are working. They're going to correct it all, and hopefully it doesn't push things back, because they haven't said when Emily in Paris season 5 hits.
But just from an acting standpoint, you got to be back on point. You got to hit your cues. You got to remember your lines.
Yeah.
You probably like, that day's done. I flushed that.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I'm done with that. Day's nope. Emotions.
You're going to have Groundhog
Bring
Day.
Back.
Do it again. And speaking of acting, actor Barry Keoghan is preparing to play Ringo Starr in an upcoming 4-part biopic series about the Beatles. And to prepare, he went to Ringo Starr's home and met Ringo. But unfortunately, like most fans who meet their idols, he completely froze up.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. He's supposed to be doing that thing where he's like, you know, studying Ringo, his mannerisms, his personality, and finding out more about him.
Kind of like the entire season of Murders in the Building last season.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. But he's like, I was in one of those moments where you're just in awe and I froze and I was talking to him and I could not look at him. I was so nervous. And he said, you can look at me.
That's got to be awkward.
And it's your job to look at him and to observe. And
you're just make it like a normal day. So you know what he's actually like.
Nope. Could not keep his cool.
I'm going to play you in a show. I don't know what to do right now.
Trust me, I'm a good actor. I just can't act like a normal person
right
now.
What do I do with my hands? You're Ringo
Starr.
Ringo Starr.
Oh, poor Barry. That's what we like to call
Z's Sleaze.
I just put glasses on over my other glasses.
Straighten your bow tie.
It's the 19th week of the year 2025. It's nerd news at an elevation of 840 feet above sea level. A latitude, and this is going to come up in a little bit, but 41.88 degrees north. Remember our latitude.
Remember that latitude, and you can do it because you're a huge nerd.
And a longitude of 91.72 degrees west. Ladies and gentlemen, this is nerd news. About 300 miles off the coast of Oregon, an underwater volcano appears to be rumbling to life. Scientists who have been monitoring the vast submarine volcano for decades say a flurry of recent activity. There's been an uptick in earthquakes, and it's swelling. The seafloor is rising, which means there is molten rock below, signals this thing is going to erupt. It's got a name, Axial Seamount.
Axial Seamount?
Axial Seamount. Sounds like a bad Star Wars character.
Yeah, it does.
Could erupt anytime between now and the end of the year.
Just don't know.
It's a 6.5-month warning.
Well, okay. Is this one of the ones where it's going to blow, there's going to be liquid hot magma, it will cool, and then we will have more of the state of Oregon?
No. It's far enough away, you're not even going to notice when this thing erupts.
Oh.
Sorry. This little, I know. I did that on purpose. I wanted to build it up, and then, like, that's it.
That's it? That's all?
This happens all the time off the coast of Hawaii. There's many of these. It's far enough away, you're not going to know it. This thing did happen back in 2015. So.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's great from a nerd standpoint, right? Half of the science department, Oregon State's like, yes!
We get to watch this!
Finally! But for the rest of us, we're fine.
Okay.
Oregon will still remain Oregon. It's not going anywhere, and it's not getting any bigger.
Okay.
No. Okay. Remember, 41.88 degrees north latitude.
Latitude.
Right. That's the line that goes around. So you start at the equator. That's zero.
Yeah.
We're at 48.
Okay.
Going up, or 41 going up. Okay. After a failed Soviet Union mission to Venus 53 years ago, the spacecraft that's still floating around Earth is going to fall to the planet soon.
Uh-oh.
Its orbit has been decaying and should enter Earth's atmosphere sometime this weekend. So go back to the Cold War.
Yeah.
It's United States and Russia. Everybody's fighting to go to space. There's trips to the moon. They were sending rovers to Venus back in the 60s and the 70s.
But they didn't make it.
This, and here's what they would do. They would usually send two at a time because the technology wasn't great.
Yeah.
One never made it out of our gravitational pull. And right now, that thing's been floating around for 53 years, and it's finally ready to fall out of the sky.
This weekend.
Probably for Mother's Day weekend.
It's going to fall on Iowa?
Well, you have a lot of problems going on with this.
Yeah, huge problems.
Number one, it was designed to land on Venus, meaning it's designed to go through Earth's atmosphere, meaning it's probably not going to break up. It's going to be intact when it lands. Number two, it's coming in at 170 miles per hour because the batteries for the parachute deploy are dead. Number three, it weighs half of a car. It's 1,100 pounds. And they expect it to land somewhere between the 52nd latitude north of the equator or south of the equator. So it's a 50-50 shot, and Iowa is at 41.88. So we could be in a landing zone for this piece of Soviet space junk that should fall from the sky.
Can we stay
sometime
on this? Can we stay on this one all weekend?
I'll keep an eye out. Shannon's out of town. I got nothing else to do.
I want you to dedicate yourself to that. That's your project. Don't fix anything around the house. Watch for space junk.
Track the space junk. And there are a ton of websites that are tracking this thing right now. So just Soviet era space junk, 53 years old. It was the Venus rover or whatever it was called. Keep an eye on it.
And if you find it, who do you call?
It doesn't say that anywhere.
Does it say it on the ship?
Well, I don't know if it would be in Russian.
Oh, great.
I guess you called Putin.
I don't know.
You get that.
I don't want to call him.
You get that bare-chested dictator over here on a horse.
Come claim your presence.
Hi, is this Mr. Putin's office?
Don't you hate it when
Is this Vladimir Putin's office, please?
I hate that feeling when you know you have to call somebody and you really don't want to talk to him.
I don't want to call Vladimir. I got to call Putin.
Hey, Vlad, I found your spacecraft.
Do you mind bringing your gorgeous horse and your shirtless body to Iowa to pick up your Russian spacecraft?
Please?
No, I dreaded phone calls, right? Those are the worst.
Yeah.
This is also not as bad, but equally probably as frustrating. Netflix is redoing their homepage.
No, thank you.
You can't say no. They're already planning it.
You know what? Anytime they make these updates and they're like, are you ready to switch to the new version? I'm always like, nope, I will stay with the old version as long as possible.
The new approach mirrors YouTube and how YouTube previews its content.
Oh, then my daughter will know exactly how to do it. Great.
Plays a few seconds of the program.
Just keep scrolling. Go. Next video.
Gives you a smaller number of options. And they claim that their recommendation algorithm is going to work faster. So it's going to show shows based on what you've watched. Right now, I guess the algorithm looks back further.
On what I have watched over my whole time?
Yes.
Okay.
But your tastes aren't the same taste you had 6 months ago. So it's giving you stuff you don't want to watch, which thus you're scrolling more.
Well, I don't know about that. Just because like I watched one period piece doesn't mean I'm no longer interested in them at all.
But maybe that was your period piece era. And right now you're into the whatever era, but then you'll go back to it.
Yeah.
So they believe that if they give you more of the shows like what you're watching currently,
okay,
you'll watch and click faster. That's the problem. They have 300 subscribers, Netflix does, 150 million. Did I even say million? 300 million subscribers. They have more than 300. They have 300 million subscribers.
Wow.
Half of them, and I'm one of them, log into Netflix without a clue with what I'm looking for, mm-hmm, and all I do is just browse.
Yep.
And the idea is to get me to a show faster.
Quit browsing.
That's why they're doing this.
Okay.
So they are changing that. They're going to change it on your phone and iPad as well. It's going to be more of a TikTok style.
Okay.
And then they're going to add an OpenAI powered chatbot.
What does that do?
Let's play a little bit of Scattergories. Okay. Just give me a movie title.
A movie title?
Of anything. Name a movie.
I'm going to go back to Marcy's answer yesterday, The Brave Little Toaster.
Brave Little Toaster. Okay. Now, give me a weather condition outside.
Cloudy.
But you like Brave Little Toaster, but really you want more of what in a movie?
Space.
Okay. Hey, Netflix, please find me a movie like The Brave Little Toaster, because it's kind of cloudy outside, but I want it a little more spicy.
Give me something spicy.
That's what the AI is going to do. You can give it a mood you're in, and it will pick a movie for you.
Good luck, AI, trying to find me a spicy movie.
Spicy.
That's kind of like Brave Little Toaster.
Exactly. You got it.
Okay, yeah.
Like, I want, oh, I don't know, Sweet Home Alabama, because it's raining and thundering outside, but I want more murder.
What?
Why not?
What's wrong with you?
You can tell it ain't. You want spicy, brave little toaster. I want dead home Alabama. That's what I want. I don't want sweet home Alabama. Okay. I want dead home Alabama.
Dead home Alabama.
Look for all of those changes and possibly some space junk coming soon.
Wow.
To a cornfield near you. That's Nerd News, everybody. On Z102.9.
See you next time.
It's the Morning Scramble with Claire and Eric.
Yes.
Z102.9.
Taking from our broadcast studio in Cedar Rapids and through the magic of radio and a telephone, we take you to Center Point Urbana. We're standing on the phone line right now is Melissa James. Good morning, Melissa.
Hello.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on today.
You're welcome. What an exciting time to be a fighting pointer, huh?
Yes, it is a very exciting time for these competitions we've got going on and all the focus on our favorite Stormin pointer, Stormin Norman.
So you were, as of last night, in the running for two contests, and we'll get to Sports Illustrated in a second. The bad news, and I broke it this morning, is it looks like you lost in the final four for the 64 contest to, quite frankly, I felt it was rigged, a mascot that looked like the Abominable Snowman from Rudolph.
Yes, exactly. That was disappointing to wake up to this morning. I was really sad about that.
No kidding. That thing, though, I mean, it was kind of adorable.
It's kind of adorable.
And also terrifying. I get it. But we have a great opportunity with, I don't know, maybe even bigger name.
Oh, Sports Illustrated carries a lot more weight
in
these things.
Carries weight, for sure.
Before we get to how you got into these contests, Melissa, take us back to when the idea of the mascot came to be and then when you got this really cool-looking actual costume or outfit.
So in 1989, the two districts, Urbana and Center Point, combined, and Center Point were the pointers, and Urbana, they were the cyclones, and so our art teacher at the high school, his job was to kind of try and pull those two mascots together because we didn't want to lose either of the history of either district.
Yeah.
And a student came up with the idea to put the dog in the tornado, and so they called it the Whirly Dog for the longest time. And then in 2004, the student council here started talking about bringing the Whirly Dog to life so we would actually have a mascot. And in 2005, they raised enough money because they're kind of expensive, especially for unique ones such as ours. And in 2005, Stormin Norman came to life. So Stormin Norman's turning 20 this year.
Crazy.
And I have been his coach ever since.
What does being a coach of a mascot entail?
Oh, it is so much fun. It is the epitome of school spirit. Everybody loves Norman, whether you're one or 101. Everybody loves Stormin Norman and supports Stormin Norman. And it's just a great time. I've had teams of up to 12 kids, sometimes only one or two. And we run our program just like a college mascot program. The students keep their identities secret because they don't matter. Stormin Norman matters. Stormin Norman has certain behaviors. He's a dog, so he will chase balls, and you scratch his ear, and his little foot shakes, and he does all kinds of fun things, right?
Oh, my gosh.
And, yeah, you have to know how to behave around kids who are afraid of Stormin. You know, some kids or people are afraid of mascots. But just being really great at pumping up the crowd, having lots of energy. So there's a whole lot of sweat that they dedicate to this,
literally,
to this job. Yeah, and they don't get recognized until they're seniors. At the senior awards ceremony, their name is finally read. It's kind of like colleges. Some of the colleges let their mascots wear the feet
at
their graduation ceremony. Yeah. So it's a blast. We're a tight-knit little group because we got to keep it secret and be all hush-hush, but they have so much fun. They come up lots of great skit ideas and fun things to do at games and get the crowd cheering for Stormin pointers.
Well, that is so cool and such a cool tradition, too. Now, 20 years old?
Yeah. So we want to keep the identity secret, clearly, right? But we want the world to vote for you guys. How did you get involved in the Sports Illustrated competition? And I've been sending people to your Facebook page to find the link. Would you say that's the best way to vote? Those are kind of the two questions right now.
Yes, or you can just Google search Sports Illustrated and Center Point Urbana. It probably will pop up too. But this fall, a former employee of Center Point Urbana, or CBO, Christy Bruce, who is a very dedicated and supportive Stormin pointer, got us into this competition, and that started out. And then also this fall, that's when the 64 reached out to us. So both of these competitions have been going on at the same time, but the Sports Illustrated one has been really fun because we can see our votes and you can vote more than one time. And our last round, the final four, we were actually down like 20 to 30,000 votes, but the CPU community completely rallied. Our social media was going crazy. Everybody was voting. We overtook the other school with a couple hours to go, and we're like, forget this. We're going for 100,000 votes, and we got over 100,000 votes.
Oh,
and
great.
Made it to the championship. It was super fun to watch all the social media and the buzz, and everybody's texting everybody, let's go, let's do this. It was great.
There's something about that, you know, hometown pride. It just gets everybody kind of rallied, and the fact that you can vote more than once. Like,
that helps, too.
Let's go, everybody.
And I am not taking it personally, but I looked at the mascot that is going against Storm and Norman, and he's a shipbuilder from Maine. He has a beard. It's about the same color as mine. It's about the same length. And I apparently have the same build as a mascot.
You could be a shipbuilder. Life, perhaps you were a shipbuilder.
As you are voting this weekend, if you know what I look like, that's the guy you're trying to take down.
Take him down.
Right? You're voting for the dog.
Yes, take him
down.
Don't
vote for the beard. When does voting officially wrap up?
It officially wraps up this Monday, May 12th at 10:59 p.m.
And then fingers crossed, right?
Yes. We hope for those bragging rights of being the best high school mascot according to the Sports Illustrated poll. So that'd be awesome.
I just cast another vote. It looks like you're about 2,000 votes ahead.
But don't take it. Awesome. She just, as she said in the last round or the final four, they were under, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know if there's a morning scramble somewhere in Maine that's pushing that mascot.
Oh, let's take out that other morning scramble.
We'll take out the other radio station, and we'll get people to vote to take out the other mascot. How does that sound, Melissa?
That sounds absolutely perfect. All right. Would love to have a Storm and Norman win.
That is Melissa James, the handler, the actual coach for Storm and Norman with Center Point Urbana. Thanks for joining the Morning Scramble, and good luck in this final round. We appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, and thank you for promoting our Storm and Norman. We absolutely love him and sharing our community spirit. Thank you.
Happy to do it.
Storm and Norman!
This is the Morning Scramble.
The Morning Scramble
on Z102.9.
Before we get to today's Wheel of Useless Knowledge, when we had our brand new street teamer in yesterday, Marcy, who, by the way, hopefully you got to hear, and if not, we had it again this morning as part of the Morning Scramble 5 o'clock. What's that called? The warm-up?
The Scramble warm-up, yeah, with producer Ben.
I don't listen to it. I'm busy getting ready for the day for our
I'm
show.
I'm
warming up myself. I put on three sweaters.
Nah, that's fine.
Either way, the thing that Marcy was the most fascinated by was the Wheel of Useless Knowledge. And she's like, where do you keep all the stuff?
How does it work?
And we showed her. Like,
where's
we have
the
a
wheel?
Separate closet in the building, because when you have the volume of paper.
Exactly.
And a wheel.
Yeah.
There's a lot that goes into this thing.
Imagine those, like, the boxes that, like, the taxes are
the
in.
The banker box.
Banker box. Yes. That's the thing. Yeah. So we have a bunch of those banker boxes. I organize things in those. And we have
Call
this random
yep.
number. And it each piece of knowledge is assigned a number, and when Eric reads the number, I have to find the coordinating number.
And I think we just want to bring that up for a little appreciation, because there's a lot of work that goes into what turns out to be useless but good knowledge to have. You're going to be sitting at a Mother's Day brunch on Sunday. There's going to be a lulling conversation, and you're going to pull out, you know what I heard on the radio, and that's what this is.
As we are describing it, it's an overly complicated system for what we're trying to achieve.
You know what, though? Sometimes the old ways are the best ways.
And that's true. You know what? I've actually tailored thinking that we are going to have a lot of Mother's Day brunch conversations and we need to have something.
So in the variety of boxes in front of us, I don't want to say you stacked the deck, but did you kind of maybe move some stuff to the top?
A little bit.
That's fine. That's appropriate. Let's give her a spin. Here is spin number one for the Wheel of Useless Knowledge. In our old school filing system.
That was heck of a spin.
I just finished a protein snack.
So that's why. That's why.
That's totally why.
That's the power of cheese and wheat thins right there.
So that's wheat thins working for you. You can't see from your angle. That's a 6, not a 9. That's a 6.
Oh, perfect. Thank you. Okay. Until the 1960s.
Yeah.
The most reliable pregnancy test was injecting woman's urine into a frog, and if she was pregnant, the hormones would cause a fungus to grow on the frog's back, and that's how you knew you were with child.
Until 1960.
1960.
So a pregnant woman in 1953 makes an appointment at the doctor?
Yeah.
Or do they go to the pond? What happens here? How does this work?
Or is the doctor's office is right next to the pond? Or there are a lot of ponds next to doctors.
Do all the labs just have frogs?
Dude, I don't know.
I gotta send off your work. It'll be a while. We have to grow fungus on a frog to make sure you're pregnant or not.
And really, I mean, if you wait a couple months, you're gonna know for sure.
Is this in America or just like in Salem, Massachusetts? Where did this take place?
For everybody. This is the only
you
way.
You peed and then it was put into a fan. How did you put it? Like, open your mouth, frog.
It says injected into?
What?
Who's the syringe?
The frog's like, I didn't sign up for this.
No, thank you.
What's going on back
and then
there?
There's just a bunch of fungusy frogs.
Poor fungusy frogs.
Oh.
Well, may I be the first to say congratulations, you get a pee on a stick.
Congratulations, everybody who doesn't have to inject that into a frog.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Eight, by the way.
Number eight. The busiest day of the year at KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Uh-huh.
Mother's Day.
It is not.
It is. And it makes total sense because her one wish is I don't want to cook.
My grandmother would kill for KFC.
Oh, yeah.
Florence Steckel Hansen loved her a white and red bucket.
Is that just so she didn't have to cook?
I don't know. I think growing up on the...
part of the appeal.
The plains of South Dakota.
Flavor? Yeah, sure.
You get a bucket of chicken, two sides.
Yeah.
Including coleslaw.
And your own bucket of gravy.
And a bucket of gravy and the biscuits. And one utensil works with all of it.
And it works. The spork just works.
The busiest day for KFC is Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm.
How appropriate.
You're welcome, Mom.
I think at one point, too, they used to have parfaits, like some sort of dessert.
Really?
You could get, yeah. That was back when I was taking Nanny Flo out for Mother's Day.
How fun is
that? This is our last one. Five, please.
Five. Okay, if Mom says, I just need a moment. Technically, yep. A moment is 90 seconds.
It is?
Yes. The word moment debuted in the 1398 Oxford English Dictionary.
There were no dictionaries back then?
They were.
Wasn't that thick?
It was not as thick as it is now.
Many words.
It says there are 40 in an hour, so 90 seconds each. It just means a short amount of time now, but...
A moment.
When they started using moment, it was 90 seconds.
They used to count things weirdly back then, right? Yeah. Like a fortnight?
Uh-huh.
4 score and 7 years ago? So it's just good. It's a unit of measurement, an actual unit of Mom's measurement.
And if she says she needs a moment, it's going to need to be longer than 90 seconds.
Give me a moment. Get out of here.
Get out of here.
This is a daily double. Please stay in the five column.
Number five.
Yeah. Over there.
Oh, boy. Young animals like rabbits and pandas, sometimes they instinctively eat their mother's poo-poo.
Why?
Because it contains bacteria that they need for proper digestion.
For proper growth?
Ew. Happy Mother's Day. Drop that one at the brunch table.
Why would you bring that up today? And why would you suggest it come back into conversation on Sunday?
I'm just saying it's useless. You probably can't even use it at brunch.
You pass the potatoes. By the way.
Did anybody know?
Baby rabbits eat the mom's poo.
And pandas too.
Thank you for listening to the Morning Scramble podcast.
Catch Claire and Eric live weekday mornings 6 until 10 Central Time on Z102.9. Listen on your radio, on your smart speaker, or stream at KZIA.com.
Okay, have a good day.